meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, everyone. God bless you for tuning in to The Winds of Change. This is Father Tom Coyes, and I'm actually live today. Thank goodness. So we got some new brain wrinkling to add to your day. And
you just wrinkled my brain, man.
It's been a while since actually I've done a live show, because last week I was away at the Daytona 500. Some of you who listen to The Winds of Change on a regular basis might remember Johnny Sauter, a friend of mine who's a NASCAR driver. He races in the Friday night, the truck series, the pickup truck series, as opposed to the Sunday regular NASCAR. NASCAR this past weekend, Daytona 500, was quite a story because such a huge crash up right at the end of the race. As a matter of fact, that was the Sunday race. And as a matter of fact, my good friend Johnny Sauter was racing on Friday night, and actually the Friday night truck race had a very similar situation. There were a number of crash ups. As a matter of fact, I don't want to bore too many of you, because I know there's not a lot of NASCAR fans. I'm out to try to increase the number of NASCAR fans, just because Johnny Sauter is such a great Catholic man and a great family guy and a good driver and all the rest. And it's kind of exciting when you want someone to win like that. The Friday night truck race had over I think it was over 50% of yellow cautions laps.
That's not fair.
It's not
fair at all.
No, and the reason it's not fair. There's a good Twilight Zone. It's not fair.
It's not fair.
But what's not fair about the yellow laps is that nobody could pass one another. And they have yellow laps because there has been accidents. And so they have to clean up the track and all the rest. And they just keep driving around. What's beautiful in a strange kind of way is the marvel of technology, that there are so many crashes, and yet all the drivers are fine because they're so well protected. And it just gives you confidence in good old Yankee ingenuity to come up with ways to save lives, even in terrible crashes.
My Lord, there, such destruction.
There was tremendous destruction out there on the track, but no drivers were, as far as I know, even hurt. Can you imagine being involved in a 15 to 20 car pileup on an expressway where everyone was going 175 miles an hour and everyone walks away? No one goes to the hospital. That's because there has been so many great innovations in those cars with the roll bars, that they're really locked in there, and their heads don't snap. So they don't get the brain, the neck injuries. Anyways, well, I'm going to have to get good old Johnny Sauter to call in again one of these times and give us a little update on how he's doing and all the rest, as another NASCAR series starts. But that's not the reason why you tune into the Winds of Change. I know that you are here for some brain wrinkling from Catholic perspective. And so indeed, I had some wonderful time to read. And wow. I'm especially... Yeah.
You just wrinkle my brain, man.
Well, we're going to try to wrinkle your brain. That's what it's all about. And I'm especially excited. I need to warm up your brain this week because hopefully I will be able to have on Dr. Timothy Gordon next week. He's a young Catholic philosopher out on the West Coast. And he's just writing and just truly enjoying his work called A Catholic Republic. So that's how I want to wrinkle your brain today, because it's been wrinkling my brain and giving me hope and showing me how important our faith is, how important it is to get it right, how important it is to know it very well, not just on a cursory, just sort of a simple way, but to get really deep into our Catholic faith. And especially to live according to our moral principles, which are so often ignored and maligned and ridiculed today. But reading Dr. Timothy Gordon's book called The Catholic Republic makes me realize all the more that America needs Catholicism in a desperate way. And in a way that Dr. Gordon puts it in the context of Catholicism versus, we'll call it the Enlightenment, or I'll call it Scientology, even though Scientology is itself a religion and that has a certain connotation to it, but Scientology in the sense that science will save us. Science is the wisdom par excellence. And we who believe in God recognize the wonders and goodness of science, but realize that it deals with the material world and leaves off all things that are immaterial. And so science is not going to save us. Catholicism can provide the wisdom teamed up with others, but leading the way with principles and with especially moral principles, especially what Dr. Gordon calls the natural law, which, of course, he didn't invent that term, but he's focusing on it with a laser beam because it is so... in essence, Catholic. And that needs to be appreciated. That's what the brain wrinkling of today needs to be. And hopefully if I could lay the foundation and introduce this when we have him on the as an interview next week, we'll be able to get even more deeply into it. He also contrasts what is necessary to save America. First of all, you got to believe that it's a nation in need of saving. I think a lot of people may not even think that. They may think, "Oh, times are up, times are down. things go in cycles. If things look down now, things look bleak now. They'll come around because they always do." And that's a kind of a I don't know. It's kind of a shallow. Assessment of things in the sense that it doesn't take history in its broad enough perspective, because when you go across thousands of years, you see that nations do come and go, empires rise and fall, and therefore to say that good always, a period of goodness, a period of prosperity always follows a period of depression and chaos is not necessarily accurate according to world history. But the other major movement or major source of healing balm to the ailing American scene would be Christianity in the generic Protestant version. I'll say that tongue-in-cheek in some way, but very honestly in another way, generic Christianity of the Protestant stripe have many basic tenets that bind them. Dr. Gordon wisely and astutely points out that one of them is the inability to establish a natural law that is so necessary in a healthy republic like the United States of America. And yes, it's important to say the United States of America is a republic, not a democracy. In the classic sense of the definition of those two terms, we send representatives to Washington or to Springfield or other capitals, and we don't vote on everything. We give the power to our elected officials to vote on everything. So that's the difference between a democracy in the strict sense and a republic. President Wilson, after World War I, made the phrase famous, make the world safe for democracy. President Bush used that kind of terminology when faced with the necessity, shall we say, of trying to stamp out Islamic terrorism after 9/11, the world needs democracy. Well, if the world needs democracy, we're not the nation to give it because we're not really a democracy. We're a republic, unless we are to do away with a representative form of government, which some people today actually do, hidden under the auspices of the desire to get rid of the Electoral College. That's one step toward unraveling what is known as a republic, because the Electoral College is created in order to bring a kind of equality or an equality between big states and little states. That's maybe the best way to describe it. So Protestantism doesn't have within it the the ability.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah, well, stay tuned even more, because Protestantism doesn't have in its principles what is necessary to build a natural law theory, because it doesn't really believe in free will. When you analyze and get to the sources of Protestant thinking, Protestant theology, going to, of course, Martin Luther and John Calvin and Zwingli, especially those three fellas, you find that there is a deep-seated explanation about human nature that is fully corrupt, and therefore capable of not doing any good without the supernatural guidance of God's grace. And therefore, nature on its own can't guide you to goodness. It's just impossible. You only get to where God wants us to go when we look at the supernatural source of wisdom, namely the Bible. So that sola scriptura attitude has a very negative effect on the ability to believe in something called a natural law theory of right and wrong, of good and evil. So let me start with something that is toward the end of Timothy McCormick's book, and then I'm going to come back and rebuild. But this is a very illustrative example. He puts his finger on something, and it's almost comical in the way in the way it comes out when you look at it. He's using a preeminent legal mind. His name is Philip Hamburg. Philip Hamburg. He's not Catholic, but he's explaining American history with very Catholic-sounding analyses of sorts. So Timothy Gordon is taking a number of his points from a book called Separation of Church and State, Separation of Church and State by Philip Hamburg. And in it, he is we're going to take a quick break here, but let me set it up so that we can come right back. So there's a case back in the 1800s called the Junior Order of United American Mechanics, okay? The Junior Order of United American Mechanics. So you can imagine younger union-type folks who either worked in auto factories or, I guess, mechanics, anyone who worked with mechanical engineers. Those are machinery, machine shop-type folks. Of course, we all know, as America was growing stronger and bigger, the Industrial Revolution was kicking in, and there was so much greatness that came about through inventions and mass production of things really boosted our society and our economy and all the rest. But there's a case that these folks brought about has nothing to do with wrenches or hammers or pliers or steel or iron or any of those things, but it has to do, above all things, with Bibles in school. So when we come back, we gotta see this as a starting point for why I really want everyone to get this book and dive into Timothy McCormick's book called The Catholic Republic. But let's take a quick break right now, my friends. I'm Father Tom Coyce. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through eighth grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
It's time once again for St. Stanislaus Kostka's Polish Dinner, Sunday, March 3rd, from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. You'll find such goodies as kielbasa, chicken, pierogi, sauerkraut, sour cream cucumbers, gołąbki, rye bread and butter, assorted pastries, coffee or milk or juice. Just $10 per plate and a children's hot dog special. Hot dog, bag of chips and a drink, just $4. After you're done eating, dance to some polka music. There'll even be some games of chance, raffles, prizes, half and half cash, sale table, pot of gold, and basket raffle. Everyone wins for the children. Advance tickets are available after masses at the rectory, and tickets are sold at the door. And you can take your Polish dinner to go. St. Stanislaus Kostka annual Polish dinner in the school cafeteria at 1255 North Noble Street, St. Stanislaus Kostka's Polish Dinner, Sunday, March 3rd.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Coyce here. I'm trying to help. Oh, there we go. Hey, Mr. Bullwinkle.
Hello there, Peabody here.
Peabody,
once
I'm sorry.
Once again, it is time to take another revealing peek back into history.
What famous date shall I set it to today, Mr. Peabody?
Well, let's go back to like the 1880s or 1890s, before the turn of centuries. I believe that's when it was. It's a preamble to the greater separation of church and state that happened in the 1960s when Everson versus Board of Education case came in and really changed the way the church and state relate to each other vis-a-vis the theory of evolution. And then later came the using buses for Catholic schools. But this case precedes those by a good 20, 30, 40 years. Like I say, it's turn of the century. Junior Order of United American Mechanics. As I said before the break, it almost sounds comical, but because it's real, it's sad, but not... It's more sad than it is funny, but okay. Here, let me just read a little bit from Timothy Gordon, Timothy Gordon's book, Catholic Republic, and he's relating some of the findings that Philip Homburg has. The story I'll read here, I'll quote: the story that Philip Homburger tells is that the separation of church and state began as an American byword employed by both American Protestants and the American scientific class. I'm going to translate the words that Timothy Gordon uses. He kind of coins a new phrase, a compound phrase, proton lights. Proton and lights, the combination of Protestant thinkers who are truly Protestant in the sense that they are continuing the thought, the theology, the philosophy, the ideology of their founders. One of the arguments of Dr. Gordon is that Protestantism has taken on a number of ways Catholic ideas and principles, and that is to the credit both of the Protestants who are seeing it and to Catholicism that have held on to these important principles, especially that of natural law. So we can rejoice in that, and that is more of the reason to praise the ecumenical movements of modern times when we are united in our push for inculcating natural law, right and wrong, into our society, more so than liturgical sameness, as it were. More can be said on that, but anyways, the movement, the parts, the two major schools of thought, we'll call them that, two major philosophical ideologies that have helped form and guided American life for 200 years, is the Protestant theology that comes from Europe, that is especially based on sola scriptura and sola fide, and the rise of scientific experimenting and scientific success that has led to a lampooning of all things non-scientific in their terminology, a lampooning of all things they can't explain, a lampooning of all things mysterious and supernatural, and therefore sacramental, and therefore religious. So you could see how Catholicism has these two enemies of sorts. Protestantism, because Catholics don't want to just believe in the Bible as the only form of revelation. And scientists can appear as enemies of Catholicism because of many scientists' ridicule of all things supernatural, though though both Protestants and good, there are good Protestant elements and theologians and people, of course. I'm not talking about individual people here. I'm talking about their ideologies and their approaches to life and church politics and national politics. And so there's these two enemies of Catholicism that sort of got together and saw a common enemy and therefore really pushed down, have been pushing down the Catholic pillar of natural law, which is so crucial, so necessary for a healthy republic such as ours. So, but here's the case. Let me try to get it here. As an example, Philip Hamburger puts forward the baffling view of the Junior Order of United American Mechanics, who believed that free education opposed any union of church and state, and that this itself required maintaining the public school system and preventing sectarian interference therewith by reading of the Holy Bible therein. Now I say, okay, let's analyze what this Junior Order of United American Mechanics is saying. They're a little afraid of sectarian interference within public schools. Okay, so you can read that meaning they're a little afraid of Catholic interference. Okay. Obviously, up in for a great part of American history, the Bible was as readily found in a public school classroom as was any other book, or perhaps even more than almost any other book. It was a staple, of course. But, of course, in most public schools, it was the Protestant version of the Bible, that version of the Bible that doesn't have seven books that the Catholic Bible has, and a few other important simple little translation differences. That anyways, we all know that there's a difference between a Catholic Bible and a Protestant Bible. So here's the case. The Junior Order of United American Mechanics is a bit upset, and they know that there's these Catholics that are kind of pushing for a Catholic Bible in the public school system. So they said, oh, that's just not supposed to be. But listen to the way that they think they find an answer, because the way they attack that problem is the comical, is the silly way. It reminds me of the classic example of someone trying to saw off a branch from a tree while sitting on the side of the saw area that is going to fall off. You know the picture I'm talking about. Anyways, let me read this again. Yeah.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Well, I didn't wrinkle it yet because you got to appreciate the. I want to say irony, but I could say stupidity, but I'm just going to say irony, okay? I didn't say stupidity, but I could. Somebody might say that, but I won't say that. Okay. Free education. Here's again. Free education opposed any union of church and state. Okay, that's the idea that we here in America have established a state that doesn't have an official church, right? We fought the Protestant Christians, fought the Hundred Years' War, as you could sort of say, in order to establish the fact that they don't want the church, meaning the Catholic Church, running their government. Soon as the Hundred Years' Wars, which was really just a basic war between Catholics and Protestants in Europe, which it's hardly ever described that way, but that's what it is. As soon as those fights started, Protestant soldiers, you could say, along with their preacher captains or preacher motivators, ministers, they quickly ran to the state in order to get cover, in order to get backup, as it were, primarily because the Catholics had backup, the Catholics had cover, and namely, that's what the Holy Roman Empire was all about. As a matter of fact, the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire, when he took his coronation oath, had to swear to defend the church when or if it's attacked in different ways. Yeah.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Well, you got to just keep listening. So, oh my goodness, another break, Nick? Should we just get one in? Okay, so I'm going to point out the irony of what is going on at this point in history. The Junior Order of United American Mechanics is going to try to solve this problem of these pesky sectarian Catholics insisting that they have a Bible, a Catholic Bible, in the hands of their Catholic school students, or no, the public school students, those that went there, of course. Anyways, okay, so stay tuned and we'll be right back. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
It's time once again for St. Stanislaus Kostka's Polish Dinner, Sunday, March 3rd, from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. You'll find such goodies as kielbasa, chicken, pierogi, sauerkraut, sour cream cucumbers, gołąbki, rye bread and butter, assorted pastries, coffee or milk or juice. Just $10 per plate and a children's hot dog special. Hot dog, bag of chips and a drink, just $4. After you're done eating, dance to some polka music. There'll even be some games of chance, raffles, prizes, half and half cash, sale table, pot of gold, and basket raffle. Everyone wins for the children. Advance tickets are available after masses at the rectory, and tickets are sold at the door. And you can take your Polish dinner to go. St. Stanislaus Kostka Annual Polish Dinner in the school cafeteria at 1255 North Noble Street, St. Stanislaus Kostka's Polish Dinner, Sunday, March 3rd.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Tom Coyce here with you, trying to explain a very strange twist in American history that evidences a tremendous problem that very few people really are able to sniff out and see and claim and name. And Dr. Timothy Gordon has done so in his book, Catholic Republic. I'm speaking about a case that came, I believe it went to the Supreme Court, it was a charge by a kind of a union, if you can call it a union. I think in the early days of unions, it was the Junior Order of the United American Mechanics. Okay, so they're upset that sectarianism is creeping into our public school system. Now, that would mean what? Does that mean that if public schools were primarily staffed by Lutheran faculty, that sectarianism was coming into the schools because Methodists were coming into the school? No, that's not what that means. Does it mean because Presbyterians were coming in? No, that's not what it means. How about Mormons? No. How about anybody else? No. It's precisely because Catholics were having some influence because of the Bible issue, because Catholics have a Bible that has seven more books than Martin Luther and the Protestant reformers gave the world. So these folks are calling it a sectarian interference. So we can understand their gripe, I guess you could say, if you fully believe that Catholicism is bringing corruption to your children and they're bringing a faulty Bible. I could sort of see why they were upset and why they were trying to do something about it. But what's silly is what they did about it and how they went about it. And this is the evil genius of evil spirits. I this is so ingenious that I really don't think it came from those junior order of American mechanics. It's too ingenious of a strategy, an evil stroke of genius. But it sounds silly, but America fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. What am I talking about? The way they attacked the problem of sectarian interference in public schools, because they wanted only the Protestant Bible to be used in the school, was to declare that all religion should be kept out of the public schools. No, there should be a complete separation of church and state. Now, when I say that today, people, that's what we believe today. Well, we believe it today because of this silly mistake of years ago. It created a world that they didn't want to create. What I mean by that is what they wanted was a public school that was free to use the Protestant Bible without pesky interference of Catholics wanting to have the Catholic Bible involved in it. So they were so naive about the fact that Christianity itself was a religion that they decided to ban religion from the school in order to keep the Protestant Bible in the school. Are you seeing the strange irony of this case? It to me is almost a joke.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
It's almost a joke, and it wrinkles our brain, and no doubt. But our brains have been wrinkled ever since. We've got to appreciate what's going on here. The Protestants who were annoyed at Catholics thought if we could ban religion from the schools, we'll be left free to practice our Protestant religion. Now, that's the silly part of the guy sawing the branch off the tree while sitting on the side that's going to fall. Because obviously Christianity is itself a religion. But that was sort of a mistake that was in the psyche of the folks saying, it's not a religion, it's our national heritage. Christianity, in the American experiment, we'll say it this way, was Protestant Christianity was America. It was the America of the founders, they want to say, even though it's not completely an accurate description of it. So there's this strange kind of, I don't want to say, I want to say joke, but I don't want to put it this way. So anti-Catholic teachers and parents didn't want sectarian, i.e. Catholic, interpretations interfering. So they demanded keep church away from state schools. See, the phrase state schools in their mind was synonymous with Protestant schools. It's a little bit like, you know how if you're a radio talk show host, radio talk show listener, as I am, sometimes Rush Limbaugh will say something like, I don't need to give the opposing voice equal time because I am the equal time. You know, we hear that shall we say, liberal or more progressive voices will even want to sue a radio show, something like Rush Limbaugh, because he doesn't give equal time to opposing positions. Rush Limbaugh's defense of his not giving equal time, Rush is going to talk for 30 minutes and then he's going to let some more liberal guest come in and talk for 30 minutes. That critique that a conservative radio show is not giving equal time is a little bit like what's going on here in the in this Bible and public school debate. They wanted to say keep church away from state schools, which means Protestant Bible-filled public schools, and so they meaning the defenders of the Protestant public school, will say we don't want this we don't want this competition, we don't want this opposition, and the Catholics would say, well, we're just being ourselves, as it were, and for you to say that the state school is non-sectarian because it's Protestant is a bit of a stretch, shall we say. So, and anyways, they didn't recognize that Protestantism itself is a religion, and when they wanted to box out the Catholics from the public schools, they joined the effort of the secular scientists who did want to box out all religion, and so they joined forces with the atheist, agnostic type scientific community that was willing to attack all forms of supernatural reasoning and or superstition, as it would be called. And so the Protestant people behind the separation of church and state, as they say, what's the another analogy? Shot themselves in the foot, as it were. So here's another little example. I kind of thought when I was reading this example. This example is a little bit like a spoiled boy who creates a clubhouse just for boys, right? But then his sister wants to join the clubhouse, and the boy gets upset at his sister and says, "You can't join us here. Girls are yucky. We only want boys in our clubhouse. And so the boy goes to his mother and says, Mom, tell Susie, my sister, your daughter, that girls are dumb and they're yucky and they can't belong to our club. Well, of course, it's a little silly to think that Mom would give a convincing argument about how girls are yucky and they're silly. You might make a good argument by saying, we as young boys need time away from girls. We will eventually grow up to love and fall in love with and want to marry a girl. But right now, at this stage in our developmental psychology, we need time away from the girls because they are an annoyance to us and an unfair competition in different ways. You might be able to make a case, which I think you can and should, for an all-boys club for boys. Like, for instance, the Boy Scouts of America, which is going the way of the dinosaurs because they're the lack of a population growth in our society today due to abortion and contraception and all the rest is creating great havoc. And so the Boys Club of America will be welcoming girls soon, as I hear. So, anyways, that's a great example of what Timothy Gordon's book, The Catholic Republic, illustrates.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah, there's a tremendous amount of brain wrinkling. And we got to go back then. I want to take you back to the beginning of Timothy Gordon's arguments to sort of how this craziness, why we're at this crossroads, and why strong, faithful Catholicism is so needed as opposed to being the enemy. We've got to understand that and to live a full and strong Catholic life is not just for our well-being and just because we like it. It is to literally help save our country from an inevitable decline, not unlike the fall of the Roman Empire, amazingly enough. So stay tuned, my friends. We gotta figure this out together, and we gotta pray hard together, right? So I'm Father Tom Coyes. You're listening to Listener Supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through 8th grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to stanschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation one way or the other.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I had to change a little mind during that break because before going back to the beginnings of of America and an analysis of what is Catholic about our republic, going back to Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and all those amazing founders that most people who are interested in American history know a lot about and talk a lot about. Before I get that, let's get just a little bit more into this case that came about to help really change the way the country looks at the separation of church and state. It was a stroke of evil genius to get the Protestants who were anti-Catholic to agree to keep all religion out of the public square because they wanted to get Catholicism out of the public square. There was a sense that, well, of course, Protestantism won't be kicked out of the public square. Protestantism is synonymous with Americanism. In many people's minds, that's what it was. And this evil stroke of genius on the part of a power beyond human wisdom, I gotta believe, created this. And we're reaping the sad effects of it, as it were. So, but here's how Timothy Gordon continues this little narrative. In today's all-encompassing sense of the term separation, in the term separation in church and state, today it means separation. But not in the original years of our founding, in the first century and a half, let's say. At that point, it seemed to mean Protestant but not Catholic exercises of civic clericalism were okay. That's what separation of church and state was supposed to mean. And I think Timothy Gordon is so accurate in that, because it did not mean not establishing a state religion, because all the states wanted to establish a state religion. It eventually broke down, but at the beginning, a lot of states wanted to have a state religion, like Virginia wanted to be Anglican, and New York wanted to be Dutch Reform, and Massachusetts wanted to be Puritan. Pennsylvania wanted to be the Friendship Church. can't think of that term, but anyways, I think you know what I'm talking about. So the Protestant Protestants not being Catholic exercises of civic clericalism were okay, as long as it wasn't Catholic. So as counterintuitive as it is, Philip Hamburg proves that from the middle of the 19th century through the middle of the 20th century, that 1 year from 1850 to 1950, both American Protestants and American Enlightenment thinkers, the scientific, Timothy Gordon keeps calling them the Enlightenment, Enlights. I'll call them the atheist scientists. They agreed that the First Amendment required distinctly Protestant exercises in civics. But as all strange bedfellows are fated to turn against one another, the Protestant Americans and the agnostic or atheist scientists began butting their heads in the late 1940s. Their unification against anything Catholic in America dissolved into a bitter rivalry, culminating in the hallmark Supreme Court case concerning the publicly funded busing of Catholic school children, Everson versus Board of Education, and its aftermath. The case marked a decisive sea change, after which point the secularists turned against the Protestants. the atheists, shall we say, or the scientists, turned against the Protestants, eventually, evidently done with their alliance, the secularists began to insist that the separation should be interpreted literally, not as a Protestant separating by word. All religion, all Christianity came then under the secular attack. In other words, the changing legal culture brought by the scientific atheists began after Everson to insist that neither the Catholic nor the Protestant Bible should be taught in schools. That's exactly what we have today. You can't possibly have a teacher be using the Bible to try to share wisdom with their students. That's the essence of the movie, God's Not Dead. Do you remember that? There was a God's Not Dead 1 and a God's Not Dead 2. God's Not Dead 2 focused a little bit more on a teacher getting in trouble. God's Not Dead 1 focused more on a student getting in trouble. God's Not Dead 1 was a college student who was going against an atheistic professor, trying to prove that God is not just a fanciful myth, or that God is dead, as it were. In the second one, a believing teacher uses the Bible and the example of Jesus as a non-militaristic person, a pacifist, as it were, turned the other cheek as a way of opposing violence. And she gets in trouble by the more now atheistic school board. So what Timothy Gordon is saying began is so powerfully all around us. What the producers of God's Not Dead wouldn't recognize is what Timothy Gordon is pointing out, because the producers of God's Not Dead are all Protestant, and the hero is a Protestant minister and all the rest. And so they wouldn't recognize the silly mistake that Protestants of old made. And what was that silly mistake that Protestants of old made? Their mistake was simple. They didn't believe Catholics were Christian. and so they had to oppose them. That little silly mistake has helped to contribute to where we are today. So the fact that a lot of Protestants of modern time wouldn't agree with the statement, Catholics are not Christian. Most of the Protestant people that I know would say that we're mistaken about a lot of things, and they'll quickly point out the corruptions and the problems in our hierarchy, which are so easily spotted, especially because they're highlighted in the media so quickly. Protestant congregations should, if they were honest, recognize that there's many problems in their own world too. So, well, that music means we've reached the end of our hour, which is sad because I wanted to get so much more. But hopefully, my friends, tune in next week. Timothy Gordon, the author of Catholic Republic, should be with us if all goes well. And we'll investigate a little bit more, and we'll discover this great, very interesting theory of his. God love you, my friends. You've been listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Marvel. meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.